Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Merengatang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws and monkey sounds in there and call it good.
The old like Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah. This is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon.
Hey, happy Wednesday. It's a hump day.
Oh, boy.
It's also Wrestling Wednesday.
Hump day.
Oh, yeah, brother.
It's a Wrestling Wednesday. Let's get it. I'm excited for this Wednesday. It's a landmark day in Portland, too. WNBA coming back.
I thought you were going to say it was a landmark for this drop from yesterday. Eat the sack and call it good.
Oh, boy. I didn't realize we had that one.
Yeah.
We had that one, too, huh?
Yeah.
Whoa, Nelly. I miss Keith Jackson. He was great. You knew you were in for a big game when Keith Jackson was on the call.
Yeah, I do miss that.
Yeah. On the beautiful Willamette River. The Willamette Valley. He was great. Yeah, you got the Rumble, the Rose Bowl. It was awesome.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Having one of those.
Keith Jackson. R.I.P.
Ian Eagle's got a great voice.
Yeah.
For that, too.
He does. He has a fantastic. That's something that we're missing right now. Like, Al Michaels has lost his fastball a little bit.
There's no John Madden.
No. Well, Herb Street's like our. I think Herb Street is the best color guy that we got going right now.
Probably.
I love Kirk Herb Street. Yeah. Gus Johnson isn't that guy. I love Gus Johnson. I love Gus Gasms.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not like big game, here we go. And
no.
That's your big noon kick. That's supposed to be the biggest game.
Yeah,
I don't think Fowler has that.
No.
Hurt my feelings.
Which those are great. I love those.
College football.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're great. Don't get me wrong. But there's room for an iconic voice again.
Yeah. Fowler is almost so understated that it doesn't resonate mm-hmm. with you. Who's the best college football, like, play-by-play guy we got right now?
That's tough.
Yeah, right? I mean, Herbie on the call with Fowler, I think that's the best combo. I think our color guys are great. I love Fowler, or I love Herbie. I love Joel Klatt. I think Joel Klatt is awesome when he's giving you the color.
Nestler's still up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. God.
Like Joe Tessitore.
Joe Tess is up there.
He goes, but his games, Joe Tessitore was the best when he was Pac-12 After Dark guy because he was really damn good and all of his games just went sideways.
Yeah, it's the same thing with like Kevin Harlan when he gets weird.
Yeah.
Like when there's something weird going on. But yeah, there's a definite hole there.
Yeah, you know who doesn't get enough credit for how good I like him a lot? People may just say, "What?" I like Ted Robinson, formerly Pac-12 Network, now he does those games on the CW.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does like the Beav games. I like me some Ted Robinson. Ted Robinson does a good job. I like Ted Robinson. See, we don't have that big voice guy. And I don't know, is that the networks have tried to do that to us? Is that what the networks are doing? Because they don't want anybody like the ESPN, remember SportsCenter? The whole rub with like Chris Berman and Dan Patrick is they didn't want them to be bigger than the network.
The Stu Scott, SVP and Eisen, like that whole crew. And it's like, yeah, guess what? That was also your best era, you idiots.
Yeah, they're letting SVP do his thing now. But it's like,
weird.
They also have, outside of SVP SportsCenter, mm-hmm. it's like a rotating door. Like, how many times do we look up and be like, who is this?
Yeah, regularly I look at you when we're in breaks and somebody will be on the screen. I'm like, who the hell is that?
I need that familiar, that comfort.
And that's on purpose. Like, they've hired people who are good, but they're all the straight man. It's not, you know, anything with any kind of real character.
Yeah.
Anybody who's new at ESPN is so buttoned up.
Yeah.
And I don't like it.
There's no
iconic calls.
Yep.
And even the last hangers-ons, the Linda Cones of the world,
hey,
she's going up to Seattle.
Yeah, she's going to do Kraken games.
Yeah.
She's going to do the Krakens.
She's coming out.
Alongside, you know who?
Andy Dirk Johnson?
No.
Oh.
No.
But his Winterhawks co-host, Ian Furness.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Yeah. On the Kraken.
The pre and post and intermissions.
Well, that's cool. I love Linda Cohn. She loves her hockey too.
She's a puckhead.
Yeah.
I chose my vernacular appropriately.
Well, there's a difference.
Yeah.
There is a difference. She is a puckhead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because puck bunnies, those are something different.
Yes.
And not a puck bunny, but a puck head.
Yeah.
She loves hockey. So does Bucci. I love John Buchagross. John Buchagross, great. Yeah, this text, Vancouver Ford text line. And announcers are so stale now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
It needs to come back.
Yeah.
Bring back character.
Yeah. Like
Marcus Johnson, old school.
Marcus Johnson, old school.
The announcer for the Bucks.
No.
Former NBA player? ABA player?
Yeah.
Is he at the Sonics?
I don't know if he ever played for the Sonics. I know he's with the Bucks.
Gotcha.
Okay.
But
thinking of a different Marcus then.
He was the one who said White Men Can't Jump, I'm going to go to my car, get my gun, shoot everyone here.
Yeah.
That's him.
Okay.
Gotcha.
But he's a play-by-play guy for the Bucks, and he's fantastic.
See, that's great.
Yeah.
Calabro.
Calabro still has all the character in the world.
Calabro, and this is why, you know, Calabro deserves big-time games.
Yes.
Like, he deserves big-time games.
He has that big-time voice.
And, I think this text for Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online at vancouverford.com. It says, my favorite Keith Jackson quote that I can remember, the Ducks are playing in the bay on a foggy day. They showed the bay, and Keith goes, the Golden Gate Bridge is hiding in the fog, but don't worry, we'll find it. He always had those little one-liners like that to add to the broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
That is, it's the painting the picture, because TV now, like broadcasters are taught on TV, is like, let the game kind of work for itself. You're setting up your color guy now.
Yeah.
Right? Keith Jackson would like dance that line between radio play-by-play, where you're truly painting the picture so people can see what's going on, and knowing what everybody could see in front of them. So there's like this element of what Keith Jackson did was he was very understated with his calls. In the calls, like Gus Johnson, his calls are over the top.
Yes.
But he would set the scene and paint the picture
better
than anybody else. Yeah, Uncle Vern.
Yeah, Vern Lundquist.
He's done too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's just no one left that has that. And it's just like, it's a bummer.
Yeah.
I guess I hold out hope for like Noah Eagle.
But I think one of the problems, though, is that these guys, they bounce around so much that now that
you can't build that equity in a home.
Yeah. Like, where has Noah Eagle been so far? Like, he graduated from Syracuse like 3 years ago. He's been the play-by-play guy for the Clippers. He's now the Nets. He's now NBC with Notre Dame broadcast.
And the Olympics.
Yeah. Like, he's
the face of Olympic basketball.
He's everywhere.
Yeah.
So we need these guys to age a little bit, huh? I think that's what we're going with.
But yeah, I mean, it is a weird spot.
Yeah.
It's a weird spot.
Yeah, Calabro's really good, though. Yeah. I want the Blazers to be relevant just so we can have Calabro calling meaningful games. So he does have that. He's a big game guy.
Yeah, and I mean, he still does some national stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking about him in the season. I mean, how much you want to do? And he's like, you know, I'm okay. I'll go do some games.
Yeah, this is a good one, too. Keith Jackson had a good send-off with Texas-USC national championship game. Sure did.
Yeah.
Sure did. And he was great in The Waterboy.
Oh, God. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
He and Fouts were fantastic in that.
What?
All right. Well, let's get the show on the road, shall we?
I guess.
All right.
It's a little bit weird. I'm looking over your shoulder at NBA Today, and I'm seeing Adam Schefter, Jeff Passan, instead of Woj on NBA Today.
Well, did you see the article? We'll get to Woj. Yeah. Woj is hanging it up. That's on the docket today. The article written about Woj retiring, the byline for it, contributors Pete Thamel, Jeff Passan, and Adam Schefter. Mm. So they took college football, Major League Baseball, and NFL, their three biggest newsbreakers, mm-hmm. to write the article about
their
Woj walking away. Which just tells me Woj wrote it, and they would just added like, here and there, little bit here and there. Woj wrote his own send-off. Yeah. And so we'll get to Woj. He gone.
He gone.
And, hey, local time may be sliding in. Mm. We'll discuss that a little bit today. We'll have the WNBA's return to Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Lane Kiffin is now trolling Oregon State. Get ready, folks.
Saw that one.
Well, he's actually responded to it. He has responded to it. So why Lane Kiffin is now got Oregon State in his sights, and it's not because the Beavs are going to join the SEC. So we got that to get to today. We got a lot of NFL stuff that we have. We have another Fun with Audio Jim Harbaugh edition today, because I don't think Jim Harbaugh quite understands it. And then we have Some NFL notes. Patrick Mahomes unfairly being criticized with a stat bomb on the broadcast over the weekend. And we'll dive into that.
Interesting.
It was, because they wanted to make it look like it was something worse than it actually is. But where we got to start this bad boy off, the WNBA is returning to Portland. What does this mean?
Hmm.
What does this mean? How excited are we, Rip City? We now have Rip City NBA and WNBA back. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, the announcement that we all knew was coming down the pipeline in August. Sean Hyken of the Rose Garden Report. He let us all know, hey, by the way, Portland's going to get a WNBA team. By the way, it's not the same ownership group that Portland was going to have the WNBA with. And then fell apart at the last minute a year ago. It officially became official this morning. WNBA had a tweet saying they're coming back to Portland, and it will be owned by the Bethal family, mm-hmm. which has ownership in the Portland Thorns. They are minority owners or limited partners with the Sacramento Kings.
Indeed.
Sacramento River Cats, which is a AAA baseball team, and the Stockton G League team. Which brings you street cred, to be quite honest. Mm. I mean, anything out of Stockton comes with a little bit of street cred. They are very well funded. I was reading up on them. Holy smokes. You want to talk about a portfolio.
They are diversified.
So Raj Bethal started Raj Swim, a swimwear business, in the 60s. His grandkids now own the business, which includes Raj Sports, Commercial Real Estate Investment, and Raj Capital, which invests in businesses including Therabody and the oil and gas industry.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. With Five Point Energy. So they got money, man. They got big money.
Yeah, they're worth a couple billy.
Yeah, that's good.
It's a good spot to be.
It's a good spot to be.
I mean, they had the kind of money to spend, you know, $65 million to buy the Thorns. And well, I'm sure we'll find out today what the actual expansion fee was for the
for Portland.
Yeah, for Portland.
Yeah, in the WNBA. Mm-hmm. Because I guess the average WNBA franchise valued at $96 million now, which is crazy to think about when you consider, I think Paul Allen bought the Portland Trailblazers for less than that in the late 80s.
Oh, there we go. We did get it. It's $125 million that they paid. I'm sorry. No, that's for the Thorns. That included their practice facility. So I would imagine that this is probably going to be somewhere around 80.
Okay.
The expansion fee.
All right.
Which is...
Paul Allen bought the Blazers for $70 million in 1988.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's now worth about $4
billion. Yikes.
So... what's cool is the Bethal family owning both the Thorns and the WNBA team is that they're going to work in concert.
Yeah.
They're going to have a training facility that is built for women's sports.
Yeah, for the Thorns and whatever this WNBA team is going to be named. Do we know?
Not yet.
Hopefully it's not the Royal. What were they going to call the first time around that they did this thing?
The name that he wanted was dumb.
Yeah.
God, what was it?
It was something royal.
Yeah, it was
royalty or something.
There was a rumor going around that that's why it didn't happen. The reason it didn't happen with the last ownership group is because he was broke.
Okay.
That's what happened. He owns Zoom Care, and that coming out of COVID, their stock cratered, and they just didn't have the financial ability to run things the way that they needed to.
Okay. Well, now... I think we look at it and we say, obviously, the Portland Thorns are very well supported here in the city. It is one of the most well supported women's sports franchises in the world.
Yes, it is the most attended women's sports franchise in the world.
In the world or in the United States?
In the world. They tout that in their game notes.
I believe it will be. The WNBA here in Portland will be just as well supported. Like, women's sports matter here.
No, they do.
And women's basketball culture in the state of Oregon is actually really, really good and deep-rooted,
too. Yeah, whether it's in high school at Clackamas or at Oregon City, Mountainside, you've got at University of Oregon, you've got Sabrina.
Oregon State's been really good, too.
Yeah. No, I'm saying...
Everybody left, but yeah. Rook's a great coach.
But if you're talking about like names that you recognize from the state of Oregon, you've got Sabrina Ionescu, you've got Satu Sabali, you've got Cam Brink from Mountainside High School, you've got Jazzy, who's the number two prospect in the entire country as a senior this year, was at Clackamas.
Yeah.
You've got a ton of ties, and whether you go back to the old, Oregon City teams that were... literally the best women's basketball, high school basketball teams in the country.
Yeah.
The Braxton twins at Westview. Like, women's basketball has, for such a kind of a weird outpost, Oregon has been way up there.
Yeah. And girls transfer in from all over the country to come and play at Oregon high schools. It's a weird thing, but it's always kind of been deep rooted here. Obviously, WNBA was here for three seasons, folded in 2002. With the Portland Fire, but the WNBA is in such a different place now. Women's sports are in such a different place now.
The WNBA broke even for the first time this year.
They are going to play in Moda.
Yeah. They'll probably move over to Memorial Coliseum during some renovation periods.
Which they will do during the summer.
Yes.
Starting next year.
Yeah.
But they won't start playing until 2026. Yeah. And here's the other thing about them starting in 2026. Free agents in 2026... Mm. You have Sabrina Ionescu, Asia Wilson, Nyara Sabali, Sabali's sister that played at the University of Oregon. I was looking for Oregon State players that were going to be free agents at that time. Couldn't find any. And then Erike Ugumbale, also going to be a free agent in 2026. So big names that will be free agents that summer. Usually they just stay with their teams, very similar to free agency in every other sport. But
it'll be interesting to see what they do for the draft. Do they give them the number one draft pick
that
year?
I don't know, because they're now going to be the third expansion franchise. Yeah. Because you have San Francisco is also getting one. Toronto is getting a WNBA team.
The fourth is still kind of an unknown.
And then Portland. But San Francisco starts next year. And then Toronto and Portland will start in 2026.
And so do they insert two draft picks and give them like picks 3 and 4? Do they give them 1 and 2? Do they give them compensatory draft picks as part of an expansion draft? Like, there's a lot of different things that are going to need to be worked out. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of how that works, because that's also, you've got Juju Watkins coming out of USC, who is the next transformative player that'll be eligible for the draft that year.
All right.
So there's a lot of different things that could line up really, really, really well for a Portland WNBA franchise to kind of hit the ground running.
So we get MLS, NBA, NWSL, and WNBA. We're here.
Not too bad.
People are getting very upset, though, on social media about what the name of this team should be. This text, would love to see him name them the Mermaids. Doubt you're going to get that. Doubt you're going to get that.
Nemec came up with a good one, leaning on the Oregon City pass and calling them the Pioneers. He said it kind of links in with the Trailblazers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody said the Trailblazers,
which pretty funny.
It's good, but they're getting dragged for that.
Yeah.
So just be... use caution when you throw out a name on social media.
Yeah, so you can't go Pioneers, though, either, because
why?
Somebody will be like, well, it's like Oregon Trail, and then you know, they'll talk about like what actually happened on the Oregon Trail.
Well, yeah, I don't know if they want to look at the Trailblazers.
No. That's
kind of the same deal.
Like, I know, but again, we know how this works now.
Do you know how many people have died from fever in the Indiana? Indiana's just rolling out there with their name, just being the fever.
Yeah, plagues.
Just reckless.
Honestly,
the Connecticut sun. You know how many people die from melanoma every year?
Skin cancer.
I mean,
yeah.
Do you know how many people get sunburns?
Yeah. Los Angeles sparks. You know how many fire sparks cause?
Forest fires.
Do you think about
started by birds getting electrocuted on the power lines?
We can do this all day.
Think about how
Dallas Cowboys. You want to get me started on those Cowboys?
I mean, think about when Mercury goes into retrograde and all those people have their feelings hurt.
I don't know what that means. I don't
something with astrology.
Yeah, you. You went right over my head on that one.
That's what I went for.
Yeah. Is it?
No, it's 100%. That's what I was going for. It's a little outside the box.
Let's see here. What other ones can we go with? Las Vegas Aces. Gambling addiction is real. There's 800 numbers that I hear about every time a DraftKings ad is rolled out.
They're usually 35 seconds of the 60-second spot.
Yeah. Washington Mystics. Anybody heard of Black Magic?
Yeah.
Huh?
Salem Witch Trials?
The Witch Trials?
Yeah. Burning people at the stake?
Yeah. The Chicago sky?
It rains. Water comes out of the sky.
You know what comes from the sky?
Lightning.
Hurricanes?
Yeah.
Hurricanes come from the sky?
It's true. It
kills people.
Hail. Lots of dangerous stuff out there.
Yeah. Dallas Wings? Boeing anybody?
Oh, wow.
They've been in the news lately.
Doors falling off lanes?
I didn't say that.
No.
I didn't say that. All right? I don't want them coming after me. I didn't do that. So we've just gone down almost the entire WNBA.
Not too bad.
Minnesota Lynx, I think you're safe. Those are cats that are small. They don't really... Do they kill anybody?
Yeah, no, murder mittens will definitely kill people.
No,
yeah.
New York Liberty. Ellis Island didn't really treat people very well.
Yeah. It's actually it's a Trojan horse, too. Statue of Liberty.
What'd the French put in there?
They
baguettes?
No, they died. They forgot.
Oh, all right.
That's what it was.
All right. The Atlanta Dream. Nightmares.
Nightmares.
Yeah. Mm.
Freddy Krueger.
Seen it? Seen it.
Can you get hurt? You can get hurt in dreams.
All right. We've gone
all of them.
We've picked apart every WNBA team. Well, I can do this for men's sports too. So don't come at me that I'm just coming at the WNBA.
They're all problematic.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the Vancouver Vortex line. I love the way Danny just casually said this man was broke, like he's seen him on the side of 205 eating Top Ramen.
Who?
Did you?
Yeah,
talking to the Zoom Care guy.
Yeah, I did call him broke.
Yeah.
It's more fun to say it that way. He's not broke. He's fine. But he doesn't have sports franchise money anymore.
Oh, that came out of left field on me. I didn't know. I was like, who'd you call broke?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So he's just worth $100 million.
Yeah, he's just worth like half a billy.
I mean, come on, guy.
Yeah.
Who isn't these days?
Hey, get it together.
Who's not?
Get it together.
Who's not?
Do we need to start a GoFundMe?
I mean, somebody will.
I mean, that's how you stay rich, is you use other people's money.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a valid point.
So, this text on the Vancouver Forward text line, how's Portland going to feel if Seattle decides to steal their
Thunder and announce Thunder and Sonics tomorrow?
Yeah, that would be the ultimate little brother smackdown.
I mean, it's not happening.
No, but there is news on that.
Yeah.
There is news on that. The Thunder have said that if Seattle gets a WNBA or an NBA team,
because
they already have a WNBA team, they get all the history back. So that little gold tab on the back of the Thunder's uniforms,
coming off.
It's coming off.
That's
no more.
Shame.
No more. And they're going to have to take away like the first 2 years of Kevin Durant's scoring history.
And Russell Westbrook's.
Yeah. And Nick Collison's, who's Mr. Thunder.
Yeah.
Huh? How about that? Mm. Yeah. How about now? How long did Mr. Thunder play for you now?
Does Nick Collison leave the Thunder and go work for the Sonics?
I hope so.
Be kind of funny.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go. Let's keep this going. What about the Tampa Bay Lightning? How many people are struck by lightning every year? Yeah, that's triggering.
Like 66 times.
Yeah. The Los Angeles Dodgers, they were the Brooklyn Trolley Dodgers. Mm. Trolley deaths, they account for
that's such
fives
a hyper
of people.
Specific thing. I love it. Trolley Dodgers.
Yeah. Yeah. San Francisco Giants. Giants, fee-fi-fo-fum, anybody?
Yeah, right?
Huh? You smelling human blood.
Also Marfan syndrome kills people.
Yes, it does.
Not Boban, though. He's just going over to Fenerbahce to play basketball.
That's right. Don't even get me started on the Detroit Lions.
Good Lord. Whew. Tigers and Bears, oh my.
What are we doing here?
Seattle Mariners out there killing fish all over the place.
Oh, God, Whalers?
Yeah. Mm. Well, the NHL did the right. No, they did the wrong thing. The Hartford Whalers should still be around.
Beautiful logo.
Great logo.
I mean, you're going to talk about, like, perfect logos. Yeah. That's up there.
Milwaukee Brewers.
Ooh. Drunk driving?
Yeah.
Hello.
Liver disease?
We also have we have some beer-related names, but we can't have any smoking-related names.
Yeah. Like, what about the Memphis Marlboro Men? Yeah.
The North Carolina Cigs.
a little Tobacco Road, you know? Come on. Birmingham Burners?
Yeah, the Charlotte Ultra 99s.
Yeah. And let's just go all in on the Commanders. You know how many people Commanders have executed in their time?
And think about the Commanders that got executed.
Sheesh. All right.
Fratricide?
I'm glad we got that out of the way. Yeah. So we are preemptively getting triggered over the name so we don't have to when the actual name of this franchise comes out. Moral of the story, the WNBA is coming back. I think it's great for the city. I do believe that when you look at the arc of women's sports, you look at the eyeballs that are now on the sport, it's no longer the joke that the WNBA was perceived to be when it came here in the late 90s through the early 2000s. It isn't. It's a different league, and they're going to be playing in Moda. I think that it's good for the city, and I'm excited to have a WNBA team here. So, way to go, Portland Pioneers. I'm with Anemic. I stand with Anemic on this. I like cities that have sports continuity, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, because I've already tried to do that with most of their other, you know, sister city, not sister cities, but the appropriate NBA franchise.
Yeah, it's something along the same lines, right? Yeah. Like Lakers and Sparks.
Like the Spurs and Silver Stars.
There you go.
Timberwolves and Lynx, even though they're different species, but...
Yeah. Yeah, they have tried.
Yeah.
They have tried.
And to be clear, the Blazers do not have any ownership stake. Because I know everybody's like, why isn't that the Allen Estate or anything? But they were helpful and instrumental in kind of getting this all done.
Okay. Yeah, because they said, come on in.
Yeah, like they wanted to be helpful to make it happen.
All right. WNBA in Portland.
And I'll say this. There's a big, unfortunately, the weather's crappy, but there's a big block party going on tonight at 4 o'clock down in Moda.
Oh, yeah.
So if you want to head down and check it out, they'll be down there doing all the things and making the introduction of the team. I'll be down there for the press conference here in a couple hours.
Sweet. So WNBA to Portland. Danny will have live updates.
Indeed.
From the big presser that's going to happen today. It's a good thing. And anytime you have an ownership group that wants to be rooted in an area, it doesn't matter if it is NWSL, WNBA, NBA, whatever. That's a good thing.
Yes.
Is a good thing.
They are wanting to be and there's the bar here, the sports bra. That's also a big part of like the rolling out.
Dude, it's a chain now.
Well, yeah, I mean,
yeah, they're announced. Yeah, they're going to franchise.
Well, I mean, you know who the investor is, right? It's the founder of Reddit. He's worth billions.
Yeah, he has gotten in, and it is, Serena Williams' husband.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Serena Williams' husband.
Which means again,
I don't know his name, but I know he's Serena Williams' husband.
That's a massive bankroll when you're talking about that power couple.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if you think that this isn't going to succeed, you're crazy.
All right. Why is Lane Kiffin mad at Oregon State next on the fan? We talked about this yesterday. Lane Kiffin was upset at Wake Forest after beating the Demon Deacons 40-6 this past weekend. Wake Forest said, no mas. This home and home, we're out. We're going to pay you to go make this thing go away.
We're good here.
And immediately, in the aftermath, I said, well, hey, Oregon State or Washington State should swoop in and pick this game up for Wake Forest. And they did. Wake Forest and Oregon State agreed to a home-and-home series 2025 at Research Stadium in Wake in 2029. They're replacing the Ole Miss game from next year. Way to go, Beavs.
That was
swooping
quick.
In with there a home game.
Yeah.
Swooping in with a home game.
Not too bad.
Not too bad. Lane Kiffin responding to that tweet from Brett McMurphy with the facepalm emoji. And remember, Lane Kiffin said they broke the unwritten rule, which is you don't back out of a home-and-home series if you're a Power 5 school.
Lane's probably sitting there like, we wanted Oregon State.
Yeah. Well, their schedule this year indicates that. I am pro this type of scheduling. We talked about this yesterday. Rip them all up. Get rid of all of them. Because you know what is better for both the Wake Forest and Oregon State programs is playing like competition. Not going in just absolutely getting murdered in a game where you know you don't stand a chance. You know that it's not in your best interest to go and play an Ole Miss because you're not on that level right now. And the only reason why Ole Miss is playing that game is so that they can check a box, which is we had a Power 4 game on our schedule. This is why I believe that conferences should link up and they should say, all right, a year in advance, where do we think our programs are? We're going to rank them out. We're going to go ahead, do a little, you can do the little power draft that I threw out yesterday where the Big Ten and SEC just go back and forth. They flip a coin. Who gets to pick first? And Big Ten wins. Perfect. They get to pick the first matchup in that thing. We're going to go at home, Alabama, Ohio State. Then the SEC gets to pick after that. Fine. Oregon has to go to Georgia. Then you just, Big Ten's got their pick. Michigan, they get LSU coming in. Play it out that way. Go all rank and file all the way down. You have like matchups where you say home in a way. You go and you rank them a year in advance. Bam. That's how we should schedule in college football. Not 10 years in advance. Oregon State playing Wake Forest, those are two teams that they will get far more out of that game than one of them just getting their tail whipped by Ole Miss in week three of 2025.
No, I think it's an interesting proposition. It's obviously something you can market, but it's also, I think it's one of those things where if you look at it from the sense of building the brand, as it were, not the SEC or the Big Ten, but the brand of college football, I think it matters.
Yeah.
Like I think this is the pivot point to the top 64 teams in college football. And I think you do kind of have these pod draws. Like if you have your conferences, but for the out of conference games, like you have, let's do it this way. Let's say to keep the money pool for the group of five or the lesser non 64 teams. Let's say the most any team in the top 64 can play outside of the 64 is two games. And basically you just do a draw. And you do it like you do a Champions League in soccer, where it's just it's quite literally a lottery. And you're playing here and you're playing this team. I think that'd be fun to get those two. And then you have different pods for, okay, you're in the 64 and you were in the top 12 last year, which means you can play teams from the not necessarily the bottom of the 64, but the next group up. And just kind of have
I'm picking up what you're putting down. So like you're just basically saying the Power Four conferences say, all right, you nominate four teams for each tier, right?
Yeah, it's a voting.
And so you have it tiered out, and you say, the other three can kind of weight this as well, right? Mm-hmm. And you say, all right, our top four teams are going in tier one.
Yep.
Our next four are going in tier two. Next four, tier three.
Everybody just kind of falls along.
File on down, and then you do like a lottery draw for tier one teams playing nothing but tier one. Tier two all the way down? Yes.
Yeah.
And you know what? You could sell that on TV.
Yes.
You could sell that on TV.
Are you kidding me? People
fan bases
all over
the
world tune in for those Champions League draws. And it's like Wrexham did a really good job with this when they did their documentary when they first made it into the higher level cup. The FA Cup. There's two levels of the FA Cup. There's the FA Cup where you're like, yeah, you play some of the better teams, but you don't play the better teams. then they moved up into their new division, and all of a sudden, like, everybody's watching to see who they get in the draw. It's like, oh, they're playing Blackburn Rovers, who's like a historically great, you know, soccer team. And you're like, oh, like, the, you're like, this is a thing to look forward to. It's that tangible thing of like, yeah, you know, you're going to play a good team.
And
what good team? You know, are you going to get, are you going to play between the hedges, it, you know, at Georgia?
Yeah.
Or are you going to get Texas at home? Like, you, I think that's half the fun is like, you could pop up in the home draw, you could pop up in the away draw, and it could get weird real quick.
Be sweet. It'd be sweet. And that's just for like, and college football could make such a week out of make a month out of it.
Are you kidding me?
Where instead of having like down weeks like we had last week across college football, you could have those games would be elevated by doing that kind of draw. But you only do it for one matchup for every conference every year. So it's like this text that says, would have been nice for Big Bad UW if they could have avoided the powerhouse Cougs last week. Yeah, but you still have your rivalry games. Yes. You still have all that. We're just talking 1 week.
Yeah.
1 week out of the year. You have an FCS. You have, for a lot of schools now, it's a non-conference rivalry. Mm-hmm. Then you have the draw week.
Mm-hmm.
And those are three of your non-conference games. SEC, if you want to play eight conference games, move forward, go ahead. You could two powder puffs. This is going to be your power four game.
And
you're not manipulating the system.
Yes.
and taking a bottom feeder from a power four.
And you're going to go saying, north of the Mason-Dixon line. Suck it.
Yep. Just like Bama did and mm-hmm. mopped the floor with Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. The ass-whooping game, as Luke Fickell called it,
but,
which is,
you know,
fantastic.
That's part of the deal. Like, yeah, Alabama, you're going to have to not play at a neutral site in Dallas or Las Vegas. Like, guess what? You might have to go to Washington.
Yep.
Like, it's just the deal. You might have to go to Penn State.
Yeah, Georgia doesn't get to play Oregon at a neutral site in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Oregon State playing TCU in Dallas.
Neutral site.
Like, stadium's on, like in Fort Worth.
Yeah, it's you can see the stadium.
Actually, it was for that game where Oregon, like the hotel, it was right outside of where TCU plays.
Oh, yeah.
Like on Saturday morning, we woke up when we went to the, when Oregon played Auburn in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
We woke up and you go down on the street and I'm looking around. It's just like a sea of purple and black. And I was like, where am I? And they're like, oh, TCU Stadium's like two blocks away. And I was like, holy smokes. And then we just hopped in the car and went to Arlington. It was that close for that game. So Oregon State, Wake Forest, home and home, 2025, 2029. Get the 2029 game out of there. Make it 25 and 26, for God's sakes. Let's have some reason here.
I like it.
Use your brain. All right, another day, another Jim Harbaugh-ism. God bless this man. He just keeps coming with the fire. Danny Dusty on the Fan. The Los Angeles Chargers are holed up on the East Coast. After beating the Panthers in Carolina, they stayed out back east.
To be fair, they didn't have to work very hard last week.
No, for a matchup against the Stellars. Because it's the Stellars. Yesterday I saw a video. Bradley Bozeman, their center. They did like a bagged lunch packing thing for a charity, right?
Mm.
And it was something that, you know, they're not going home to their families. So Harbaugh was there. A bunch of his teammates were there. And they set a record. Like they did like 5,000. They packed like 5,000 sack lunches in 26 minutes. And the place was like, that's a record. And Harbaugh was like in the background going, yeah! Like he was getting all jacked because they broke the record,
baby.
Right? Like that was something he really cared about. But Jim Harbaugh addressed the media today, and Justin Herbert has an ankle. There's actually some news out of it. Justin Herbert has an ankle injury that he's been dealing with. And Harbaugh said he's back to normal and on top of the plantar fascia. He got rolled up on because remember our conversation about how bad the offensive line has been?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he got rolled up on,
yeah.
And he's kind of injured, got a boo-boo on his ankle.
Yeah.
So there was that little actual news. Then Harbaugh was asked about Greg Roman, his offensive coordinator.
True.
Why the rushing attacks that Greg Roman has every year are so good, and what makes him such a great coach? And Jim Harbaugh did it again.
He's just a great coach. I mean, one of the best I've ever been around. You know, like Moses, I'm gonna die leaning on my staff. Greg Roman, Jesse Minner, Ryan Fick, and those coordinators are, you know, in my opinion, some of the best in the business. And
like the man who parted the Red Sea,
yeah.
I will die leaning on my staff.
Yeah. So,
bro, what a line.
In my mind, Harbaugh reads the Bible and everything is just in football terms, right? I don't think that when Jim Harbaugh takes in the Bible, like Moses dying leaning on his staff, in his mind, it was like assistant coaches around him, not a physical staff. He's reading that as AFF, not APH.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, no, the staff that Moses died on, it was his coordinators of religion. That's what he died leaning on. I love Jim Harbaugh.
That's just tremendous stuff.
And it brings us back.
And he said it with a straight face. That's the thing about this. This isn't,
yeah.
He's not, you know, crap posting here. Like, yeah. He believes what he's saying.
Yeah. And remember.
That's what makes us great.
When we played the full audio of this that gave us these two drops.
I love guys who like football. Guys mm-hmm. who like football, they like me back.
Remember when he said guys who don't like football usually try to avoid me because I try to talk to them about football? That is it right there. Like, Jim Harbaugh goes to church, and I guarantee you he's, like, making these football references. Like, he's sitting out in front of church. He's like, oh, yeah, how about that sermon? You know, I'm going to be like Moses. I'm going to die leaning on my staff, too. And they're like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, do you carry around
the
a staff?
The walking stick?
He's like, no. My coaching staff. And that's where people that don't like football do try to avoid Jim Harbaugh. He is a man who's just speaking nothing but the truth. And now we have...
Like Moses, I'm going to die leaning on my staff.
God bless you,
that's
Jim
incredible.
Harbaugh.
That's incredible. I had not heard that until you played it. And that is an absolute bar. Because he wholeheartedly believes it. Like, did he workshop it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Here's the difference, right? Neil Olshey had his word of the press conference that he was going to put in there. And you knew it was absolute BS, and you wanted to punch him in the face when he said it. When Harbaugh says this, it's dumb.
Yeah.
And you kind of roll your eyes. But you know, unequivocally, that he believes it through and through.
Mm-hmm.
To his core.
He loves football.
It's just it's so wild, but it's absolutely awesome. I love it. I love how absolutely crazy he is.
Yeah, and you know the people that he's like linking up with at church, because you know he's not going to church on Sundays. He's got football on Sundays.
Yeah, no, he can't Saturday do it on night.
He's
early Sunday.
Oh, he's going midweek.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, he's a midweek. Catching up. He's a midweek guy. He's a midweek mass guy. You know he's going to midweek mass. And the people who go to midweek mass are not the ones that are going to be relating to Jim Harbaugh the most. The midweek massers are the ones that they're taking their religion, they're taking their Catholicism like Harbaugh very seriously here. Except for this guy is just trying to make all of it about football. So good on you, Jim Harbaugh. Way to go, bro. Way to go. All right, in the NFL, a wild stat popped up over the weekend. And it was a little bit unfair. Is Patrick Mahomes being wronged? Next on The Fan.